all my worship and all my praise flow unto him. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we're able to be here and worship you in a sound mind and in a sound body, Father God. I thank you for the strength in my body that I do have. Father, I know you'll keep me in the areas that I don't have strength. Lord, we love you. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your seats. Take your seats. Lord. Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We are on our Principle Change series. Lord. We are on the second series. Our series on Tuesday was divorcing your flesh. So we all went home and filed our divorce papers against our flesh. Yes, sir. I filed mine. Y'all can go check. You can check with God. I filed my papers to divorce my flesh. We talked about the bond that we have with our flesh, how that needs to be severed. Do 2 Peter chapter 2, and also turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I know I got y'all turning. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go read 2 Peter first. So I do welcome you to the Lost and Found on behalf of Elder Keisha, Pastor Ion, and Minister Jonathan, and all our other unspoken leaders of this beautiful ministry. That do so much work in the scenes that everybody can see, and a lot of work behind the scenes. Oh, I do have a testimony. I don't know if you remember, it was about 2-3 months ago. I told y'all that I had an iMac, brand new iMac. Loved my iMac. Almost to a point of coveting my iMac, but I loved my iMac. I loved it, I loved it. And so, we teach here about planting seed and know the seeds that you plant. Well, me and my wife, you know, we had 3 major surgeries between the two of us the first 2 years we was married, caused us to go in debt, but then we made bad financial decisions that caused us to go further in debt. So this is why I fight with y'all and myself that we don't do stuff because you don't know how long consequences last. And finances is the perfect example of how long the consequence can last. Yeah. You mess up with your finances in 89, you still paying for it in 2011. So we understand that. So we had a bill that was $1,200 and we had consolidated our credit, but this one bill collector would not take, it wouldn't enter the program. No matter what we did, they wouldn't enter the program. So I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my iMac and I said, well, I can sell it. The bill was $1,200. I said, I can sell it, pay the bill. And God said, well, if you sow it, I control the harvest. And me and God had to talk about that for a little while because I can't see just giving this to somebody. But it's a place of knowing God and trusting God. So I prayed about it, asked God. God said, if you sow it, all I can tell you is I'll control the harvest. So I sowed my Mac. Well, I sold it. S-O-W-E-D. That is how you spell sold, right? I sold my Mac into somebody's life. And I'm sitting there waiting. First week go by, nothing happened. I'm looking to God, second week go by, nothing happened. And I say, God, okay, maybe you watering it. But could you put a little fertilizer on it? Speed this thing up. Because they ain't stopping the phone calls. So finally God just says, you gotta trust me for your harvest. So I said, okay. So the bill was $1,200. About a month and a half after I sold, the people called me and said, well, we'll settle for half of the bill. So we was able to pay half. But then God kept having people sow into our lives another $600. So we was able to take that other $600 and put it toward other stuff. So I sold, and God controlled the harvest. Now had I sold, S-O-L-D, the iMac, I would have paid the bill off. But I wouldn't have been able to do other stuff. Yeah. But I sold it into somebody's life. God had them settle for half. And somebody sold into our life the other half, so we was able to take that money and pay other stuff.
Amen.
So believe in your sowing. It don't happen overnight. I just wanted to let y'all know I live by sowing and reaping. I don't just talk about it. I live by it in the hard time. So just have faith in your sowing. Trust in God for your reaping. All right. 2 Peter chapter 2. Y'all there?
Amen.
Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Y'all spoiled. Y'all don't know when to shout. That's a shouting scripture. To deliver us out of temptation. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. That's right. Father, I pray for your anointing to be in this house. I pray that this is a principle, Lord, that we can make applicable to our lives so that we can see change. We already passed the first quarter of this year of victory, Lord. We only have 3 quarters left. And we know that that may go fast, Lord, and we want victory. But in order to have victory, we need change.
Yes.
So give us a heart to receive and a ear to hear a principle that if we apply to our life, we will see change. So, Lord, we love you and we praise you. Let your anointing fall on me, Lord. Remove every form of me. Just allow my mind to be able to articulate everything the Holy Spirit says.
Yeah.
I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all doing all right?
Yes.
All right. So, our first principle was we divorced our flesh. We talked about giving in to fleshly lust wages war against your soul. So we talk about every time you give in to your flesh, into temptation, you launch an attack on your soul. The scripture. It is scripture that it wages war against your soul. But every time you give into your flesh, you wage a war on your attack on your soul. So we talked about our soul being taken hostage by our flesh. And we know how it is. Sometimes we can be so lost in a thing that we feel like in our soul we can't get out because our flesh is just too strong. So we talked about those things. So we said serve your flesh divorce papers. And we prayed over the house and we believed that everybody went home and literally divorced your flesh because we talked about how our flesh is too close. So the mindset for our flesh is when we suffer in our soul, we give in to the flesh. So we said in order to change, suffering can no longer be an excuse. You got that case? In order to change, suffering can no longer be an excuse not to change. Because most of us, when we go through something we don't like, we do something fleshly because it feels good. Okay, well, I just do it. Y'all all right? Y'all looking at me like, I don't do that? No. When we suffer, when we hurt, we give in to the flesh. You don't feel good, you down, you eat something that tastes real good. You do something to the flesh. Some of us go take it really further, some of us don't. So we do something to the flesh. So suffering can't be an excuse. So today, I want to talk about temptation can no longer be an excuse. Temptation can no longer be an excuse. All right, so in these two scriptures that we're looking at, we see that God is more than able to deliver us out of every temptation. Is that what we read?
Yes.
Yes, come on, this is an interactive thing. We talk. Well, I talk. I talk to y'all talk back. If y'all don't talk back, I just keep talking, but we're supposed to talk. Interact. We learned in these scriptures that God can deliver us out of every temptation, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's make sure we understand. We have to learn to stand under the pressure of temptation and not submit to it. It amazes me as Christians how we get used to a lot of things. We get used to worship a certain way. We get used, unless y'all ain't ever been to a traditional church, we get used to, that's my seat. And if you're sitting in my seat, I'm going to tell you about yourself. We get used to a lot of things except temptation. Temptation is never going away. That is the doorway to sin for us. So we have to get used to the pressure of temptation. It can't shake you. It can't rattle you. I was trying to think of great analogies for this ahead of time. And even now, I can't think of one that really epitomizes us being able to stand the pressure. But if you're in sports and you see guys that's always good in the clutch, like Michael Jordan, the pressure, if you ask him, the pressure time was an exciting time, but it was normal to him. It didn't shake him. Why is it temptation moves us? We should be at a place where we can stand under the pressure and the heaviness of temptation. What bothers me is all the years we've taught in the church and we don't teach how heavy the pressure of temptation can get. We just tell people stop giving in. Well, it's heavy and my knees is buckling and I'm giving in. We have to teach people to get strong under temptation. Athletically, you gotta swap temptation so you can stand under the pressure of temptation. All right?
Yeah.
When you divorce your flesh, the only way your flesh, when you divorced it, and those of y'all that wasn't here Tuesday, I declare you divorced it right now. So when you divorce your flesh, only thing your flesh can do is call and try to win you back. Now, we've all had those breakups. Some of us was the ones calling, sniffling and begging. Some of us was getting sniffled and begged at. But you understand the passion of when you want something back that you once loved, that you were so connected to. I use natural things because it's a great analogy. If you ever got your heart broken, you know what it's like to call. Baby, please, help me. Please take me back. You just want them back. I remember I got my heart broken and I was begging. And my room was in the basement. And my father heard me begging. That man came stomping down the stairs. And he was like, boy, stand up for yourself. He took the phone, he hung up the phone. He was like, what's wrong with you? He's like, you're embarrassing me. But it taught me that, and I was just a begging. But that's how your flesh ain't got no shame. Your flesh will beg. Beg you and plead with you, please give in to what I need you to give in to. So the way your flesh calls you is with temptation. Presents you with temptation. Don't this look nice? I bought you this. I'm giving you this. Give in to this. Experience this. That's how your flesh is. So it calls you and begs you back with temptation. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as the church, say this without being offensive to the church. We believe in the power of God in so many aspects. If you need healing, there's no doubt about you. You can believe in the power of God, people to pray over you and heal you. You believe in miracles. You believe in finances. I've seen people hold prayer meetings for everything from a lost child to somebody sick to somebody afflicted to a financial breakthrough. We believe for new buildings for the church and we believe for more members for the church. We believe God for the power of everything except the power of delivering us from temptation. The Bible says God has the power to deliver you. The power, the means. I want to know when we're going to have a prayer meeting to fight temptation. We have a prayer meeting before and after church for some miracles, for some healings. I just want to be honest. Sometimes I just want to say, y'all circle me and pray for me for the power of deliverance from temptation. I know y'all don't be tempted. Y'all just share my pain. I know that's not y'all. I know y'all okay. But we have to believe God for the power. I want to make this applicable. Okay, I always give this analogy that God sits, and don't run out of here and say that Pastor crazy. He said God sit behind a desk. It's an analogy. I've always pictured God sitting up. You know, God says that nothing can happen to you unless he allows it, right? And so I always picture God sitting up behind his big desk and the enemy comes with a contract. Like he did with Job. This is what I want to do to him. God said, this is what you can do. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe the enemy submits contracts of temptation. But God reads over the contract of temptation, and I love God because he will, according to Corinthians, he puts a clause in the contract. Y'all business people, y'all know what the clause means, right? It's a way out. I can get out. He puts a clause in the contract so that there's always a way of escape from temptation. Now, for some of us, when we are entering in temptation, we see the way out. Or we hear the Holy Spirit. Just don't say nothing. Sometimes y'all hear that. You get somebody, get an attitude with you, you hear the Holy Spirit. Don't even engage in the conversation because it's not going to go nowhere good. Don't fall to temptation. Or you on your way over a late night phone call and the tire go flat and you get out in the rain and fix it. You run out of gas. You walk to the gas station. It's not hitting you that this is God's way out of the temptation, okay? So trust God for the clause. With us, you have to start paying attention to where the clause is. Temptation is not an excuse no more to give in. It's not an excuse to sin. It's, oh Lord, I was tempted. You're going to always be tempted. Jesus was tempted. So can you see the clause? This is the point of prayer and reading to get closer to the Holy Spirit, to start hearing his voice more so you can see and recognize the clause. Y'all got this?
Yeah.
I know this is a stinky message, but we have to take the principle
yes.
of temptation in order to be able to change, because for us as the children of God, temptation is never going to stop. The closer you get with God, the repetitiveness of temptation stops, but the temptations that come get stronger. So as you get closer to God, temptation, the little petty stuff will start to slow down because the enemy is plotting and scheming and drawing up what he needs to draw up to get you. So they'll be stronger. So we have to understand how temptation is hurting us so bad. We got to know when we're tempted. Now, with the clause, there's a problem. There's a problem with the clause. For some of us and some temptations, the temptations we like. I like to do that. So I'm not really looking for a clause. I see the clause, but maybe that, and then here we go, we justify it. Maybe that's my way out, maybe it ain't. So I'm gonna stay on in here and see what happens. It is difficult when you know you like certain things. There's a reason, what do we say here? There's a reason the enemy tempts you with certain things, is because it works for you. The enemy couldn't tempt me with a man. Don't work for me. Did y'all get that? Because y'all didn't laugh, say nothing, hit, and I'm not knocking nobody. I'm saying that don't work for me. Don't work at all. It's not even, he wouldn't send that my way. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For some people, God, the enemy can't tempt you with money. Money is not a big thing with you. You may be financially blessed and you give so money don't get you. But you have to recognize the reason he keeps sending the same stuff is because it works. And the prideful part, I'm so frustrated the more I move in ministry and church at prior leaders, really frustrated, because they never taught that they had issues. They were never transparent enough for us to see that you can be saved and sanctified and still struggle with certain things because they were so prideful. I watch people come to church. I went to old fashioned church. They cuss you out if you sit in the wrong seat. I'm talking about the ushers that if you was chewing gum, tap you on the back of your head, stick their hand out, make you spit the gum out, just like mean. So I see people who just stayed with God for 40, 50 years. And I'm in church 6 years, and you had the same attitude, you fell to the same temptations that you did in year one. Our pride, you cannot be so prideful you don't admit to at least yourself how you tempt. Don't go tell everybody. Don't. And matter of fact, some stuff you can't tell nobody. Because some stuff people can't handle your temptations. Because they'll look at your temptations and say, that's you. No, that may have been the old me or the former me, and it's still a temptation, but that's not me. But that's what the church did. Soon as we said, hey, I'm struggling with this, the church shunned you and judged you and tore you down, even though they had all temptations. So don't be prideful enough to be able to say, I know this is a temptation for me. this is something I struggle with. This is something that can be used against me. If it's your attitude, fine. If it's lust, fine. If it's whatever it is, recognize it and see it. Because playing, don't take this personal, but we as Christians play dumb sometimes. You know, when you're a kid, you get in trouble and your parent be like, hey, what'd you do? My father asked me something, I'm like, huh? What? I can't hear you. No, what are you talking about? The car. We got a car. Just dumb stuff. You know, just dumb stuff. We do play dumb with God. I ain't really doing this. This ain't me. We just play dumb. And I'm just not meaning that y'all dumb. Don't say, Pastor Mark say everybody in the church is dumb. But we play dumb. We play that naive role with God a lot. What bothers me is I know if you never recognize your temptation, you never took the personal time with God to sit with him, and you still have a bit of pride to even say, this is my issue. Now, it's great when you have a supporting cast and you can say, hey, like my wife, I tell her everything. So if y'all want to know about me, y'all ask her. I tell her everything. This is all my issues. That's why I love when I talk to people. You counsel somebody, and they present their marriage, and they is perfect. You're just talking to them now. They perfect. You talking to me, you like, man, that person you with is toe up. Then you counsel the other person, and you be like, hold up. You ain't all that you portrayed to be. We make ourselves look a certain way. The problem is we do this with a God that can already see in us. You see what I'm saying? So we got to try to not let pride get in the way. So we got to look for the clause. I have one more thing, then we can close. Turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One more thing, then I can close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember, temptation is not an excuse. Pride, playing naive. That's a better word. Sorry for dumb. Playing naive is not an excuse no more with God. But you have to divorce your flesh in order to be able to fight temptation. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the tables of devils. I want to give you, before I close, incentive to start looking for the way out. I want to give you some incentive before we close. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You all right? Okay. Naturally, we eat every day. Unless you fast, then you eat. Get up, eat breakfast, eat lunch, eat dinner. You like me, you eat small meals throughout the day. Some of us eat a whole lot, some of us eat a little. But we eat naturally to feed ourselves naturally, right?
Yeah.
I need you to start making the parallel of, I do things naturally, but I also do things spiritually. We eat spiritually, and we eat four ways. You eat through your eye gate, which we know. Eye gates are usually harder on men because men are visual. Just being real, it's true. Most men are visual, so eye gates are a little bit harder. We eat through our ear gates, the stuff we listen to. Now, I was gonna say something about women and talking and listening, but that's pretty good. That probably won't go good. I don't know if there's no men in the room, but.
We outnumber you.
Y'all might outnumber us, but we eat through our ear gate. We eat through our mouth gate. I heard somebody say, speak sweet words because the next day you might have to eat what you say. Y'all ever said something had to eat your words?
Mm-hmm.
So you speak nice stuff, but we have to, you see what I'm saying? So eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, and your action gate, the things you do. This is how you eat spiritually throughout the day. So all day you're eating spiritually whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, action gate. If there is something, so you got a picture, God's at a table in your life, the enemy's at a table in your life, both serving food. If there's something you're eating in your eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, or your action gate that you know God would not put on his table, it's probably not a good idea to eat. So if you're looking at stuff, you don't think God will serve you, stop looking. If you're hearing things, and sometimes hearing things means sometimes you got to cut some people off. That I think that's the hardest wall.
Yeah.
The hardest decision you got to make as a Christian is when you realize people don't talk to you and they're not talking into your spirit. And sometimes you reach a place in your life where you're like, I can't listen to you no more. Because you put a whole bunch of wrong stuff in my spirit. Now we go to the talking. Are you putting wrong stuff in people's spirit? Are you speaking things out of your mouth that you know God doesn't speak? Are you speaking fear when God speaks faith? Are you speaking sickness when God is speaking healing? Let me just say, there's a difference between faking and faithing. Don't be around me with your nose running and crust in your eyes and coughing from a cold and wipe all this and shake my hands. I don't have no cold. Yes, you have a cold. That's not faithing. That's faking. You have the faith to believe God can take the cold away and heal you. But don't get out here and speak stuff. You're like, you on the side of the road, car broke down. You like, my car ain't broke down. It is. It's broke down on the side of the road. Now speak faith that God can send somebody to come get you, okay? So that's what I'm talking about, speaking. I don't mean, so don't run out of here just speaking all type of fake stuff that we known to do in that age where we were speaking things into existence. We was running around here faking a lot of stuff and not faking. So don't do nothing that you know wouldn't come off God's plate. Now here comes the hard part. I think it's James chapter 4, verse 17 that we've all heard me say, because I live by the scripture. To him to know to do good, and to him is not a sin. The hard part as a Christian is when you are eating at God's table. Somebody else is eating at God's table, but they got stuff on their table that's not on your table, but you like that stuff. You see what I'm saying? To him to know to do good, to him that doesn't do it, to him is sin. God doesn't deny me what he denies you, because what he's denying me is for a reason. Mm-hmm. Are you catching that?
Yeah.
So many times as Christians, we like, oh, okay, pastor does it. That person do it. Okay, I'm going to do this too. And you know God is speaking to you that you should not be partaking in that. Some people here can watch certain shows. Gangster movies. To y'all, it won't do nothing. To me, it stirs up a spirit of the past. And I'm not saying don't say, Pastor Mark said, gangster movies is simple. For me, God has taught me when I watch it, a certain spirit stirs up in me of my past. And God has brought me so far from that, it's like, you don't need to feed yourself those things. So different thing. Naturally, God has me eating a certain way because my wife eats a different way. I have trying to better my health and do things like that. So we sit down to eat and I look at her plate naturally and she got Kit Kat ready for the, you know, dessert. She got this going on. She drinking some juice. I'm like, that is so messed up. And I'm just like, I'm so bothered by that. But that's what happens spiritually. What God tells you not to do, he may not tell your wife or your friend or your confidant not to do. You have to be comfortable and trust God for the plate that you eat off of. All right? So I want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to close. There's God's plate, there's the devil's plate. So I'm about to pray, but I want to leave you one thing for the week. What happens if you die sitting at the wrong table?
Oh my Lord.
Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory. I pray, Lord, that statement sticks with us all week. I don't want to die and take the chance of eating at the wrong table spiritually in my life. Help us to understand temptation. Help us to understand that we have to get used to temptation being in our lives, and we have to learn to fight. We divorced our flesh, now we understand temptation. Continue to apply the principles of change for our life, that we may have victory this year. So Lord, we love you, we praise you. Lord, we declare and decree we're going to take the word and apply it to our lives. We love you and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Good morning, everyone. It's offering time here at the Lost and
Found. Yay!
yes, we're getting better. You know, the Word of God says that God loves a cheerful giver. So that's why we cheer here at the Lost and Found when it's time to give.
Amen.
Here at the Lost and Found, we are a ministry that believes that it's between you and God what you give. So ask Him, seek Him. before you come in, seek God to let him tell you what you're supposed to give into the ministry. So we're not telling you to give 10%, 5%, 50%. It'd be nice, but we're telling you to seek the Lord. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get one. Also, if you need a pen, we've been doing that lately too.
Since I got you on.